Welcome to Perfectly Sane Show, episode 172. I am Chris, as always joined by Tony.
I'm here, for real.
Yes.
Making it happen.
And Earl's here with us this week.
Howdy ho!
It's Earl, the Christmas spook.
Right, great.
It is almost that time. I mean, I believe it's from September to December is considered Christmas season nowadays. So,
Well, I made a comment in August about there being like Halloween stuff out, and somebody took a picture the next day of Christmas stuff already up at like a local store or whatever. Like, Jesus, like. August. Like, who puts Christmas stuff up in August?
Come on, they've already leaked. They leaked the entire game
GameStop
Black Friday stuff like weeks ago.
Yeah, none of it was all that intriguing either.
Well, some of it's kind of cool. It's very weird because it's the same thing. I think Target announced this week that they're having a buy two, get one free sale. I think the week the PlayStation 4 comes out, I'm just thinking, like, are these major games coming out over the next 2 weeks? Why not just wait the 2 weeks and pick them up for cheap?
Right.
But people need their day one stuff.
Yeah. I'm just as much, like, to blame for that as well. Like, I want to play it when it comes out. And,
that's right.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, it does seem like day one is just becoming beta testers for people when they finally decide to patch it properly.
For a lot of stuff, yeah.
We'll get to that.
I'm
with
beta
Batman.
Testing a game right now. It's great. It's fantastic.
Is this Assassin's Creed?
Yes, this is Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed 4 beta test edition.
That's right.
And I mean, Batman, kind of the same way.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about Battlefield, but I don't know anybody that's playing Battlefield 4 yet this week, so.
Right.
I don't know how their launch went. But if it's anything like normal EA, broken at best.
I feel like we'd already been inundated with stuff about how terrible the launch was, and it doesn't sound like there's been anything.
Actually, I haven't heard anybody talk about that game. I forgot it came out.
Not a thing. Nothing. Like, I saw a bunch of reviews the day of. And then nothing.
I wonder if we're in that weird... It's that weird position where the best version of that game is going to be the PC or next gen, or like PS4 or Xbox One versions. And I wonder if maybe people are holding off to play it. I mean, even though they have done that whole, like, you know, that upgrade thing for both PS3 to PS4 and Xbox 360 to Xbox One, but
yeah, I mean maybe it's the circle's eye room. I just haven't heard anybody really talk about it that much this year, as far as like anything, except for the stupid marketing gimmicks like the Evolution.
Yeah,
Evolution.
And I mean, sat down. We were watching a hockey game and the beginning of the football game. Tonight on Halloween, and there were multiple ads for Battlefield 4, but I mean, who knows if that actually reaches anybody. and it's gotten so bad that we're sitting there and my friend sitting there is like, which game is this? He couldn't tell if it was Battlefield or Call of Duty.
Yeah, I do think people were in. I also think game commercials are really weird. Even though Battlefield is pretty straightforward, really don't like the PlayStation 4 commercial. Because if you watch it not knowing that it's a PlayStation 4 commercial, you have no idea it's a PlayStation 4 commercial.
Which one?
The singing one with the people, like the battle, like the people, the Good Day one, I guess that's what it's called.
Yeah. I don't know. Marketing for Sony is really weird anymore. Not actually all the time, but
they know how to do it.
But I remember the creepy baby ones from the PS3 on.
Yeah.
Oh god.
I really like what I've seen of the Xbox One marketing. They've done a really good job.
It's really weird because it's the same concept, but they were smart enough to tie everything back together. Towards the game that it represents by actually showing the game in the commercial.
Yeah. Oh, well. Let's talk some games that are actually out. And then
there are games that are out?
We could do next-gen speculation a little bit. Yeah, there are tons of games out. It's crazy the last 2 weeks with releases, so... what do we want to kick off with? Earl, what have you been playing?
Well, I don't know if you folks talked about Pokemon, and I don't know if you folks really want to talk about Pokemon, but that's been in my 3DS for the last several weeks. You saw my adventures with Toys R Us. They still haven't refunded me half that money yet, so that's fun. Tony did warn me, though.
I would have warned you, Earl, had I known ahead of time that you were thinking about going to Toys R Us route.
So... For listeners who don't know, what exactly happened? You bought a physical version and we're having them deliver it to you?
Yeah, because Toys R Us is running a buy one, save 40% off the second one deal. Right. And Pokemon was during New York Comic Con, so I figured I wouldn't be around for most of that weekend anyhow. So I figured I can, you know, take a couple of days today or whatever to get it there, but to me. So I ordered Pokemon and I ordered Batman Arkham Origins from them as well. And... then, you know, the game came out Saturday. I think by that Wednesday, I didn't hear from them. So I finally decided I'm just going to cancel my order and buy it digitally, which is when they sent me the Pokemon anyhow. And it ended up coming to me about 2 weeks after the release. And I canceled Batman, but they have yet to confirm my cancellation officially. So they won't refund me the money because they face a... not a hold. What is it you call... like, they check that you have the money in your account, and they kind of put that on a placement.
Yeah, it's a hold. Yeah.
And it's been about 2 weeks since I canceled it, and according to them, it's not, because they haven't confirmed the cancellation, they can't give me back the money yet. And that, I'm just
great.
Like, I'm done dealing with you now. But I ended up getting Batman through Amazon, much nicer people. But, Pokemon, it's Pokemon. I mean, it's really, it goes either way. If you're a Pokemon fan, you enjoy it. If you're not, there's really nothing new here. I guess the 3D would get people OE so far. It's a nice looking game for Pokemon. It's an evolution of the 2D sprites. But other than that, I mean, it's, you go around town, you collect a bunch of Pokemon, you fight gym leaders, you trade. It's exciting if you've never done it before. It's exciting if you've done it, I guess, 6 or 7 times now. But I really don't know what to say about that game.
Yeah, I mean, I picked up Y. And I'm kind of asking myself why, because the last time I tried it was when Heart Gold came out, and it didn't grab me then, but that was a remake of an older version, right? Like, Heart Gold was a remake of what, Gold or whatever?
Yeah, Gold and Silver, the second generation.
So I was thinking, like, hey, maybe, like, you know, I'll try the brand new one and see if I, like, it's really exactly the same type of setup, though. It's... and I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I press buttons. It's turn-based JRPG, but I don't understand the mechanics of it. It doesn't do a really good job of explaining, like, this one works against this one or whatnot. So it's like I just power up my guy as much as I can and then hope I can stomp on them.
Yeah, you can brute force it. but honestly, that's always kind of been the appeal of the franchise to a lot of people, which is why people are always kind of curious when they introduce more and more Pokemon, is kind of going into the game and learning the types and kind of figuring out their strengths and their weaknesses, because there is a very aberrant power chart.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Like, the amount of, you know, stats and details, and, like, I don't think the game does a very good job of...
yeah, I don't
explain
think
that to you.
Yeah, I don't think the game ever wants to explain that to you. I think it teaches you the basics, and it's really just kind of trial and error. You kind of figure out as you go. I mean, the easiest way is to catch Pokemon, then you figure out their types, and then you know fire is strong against grass, but weak against water. Water is strong against grass, but weak against fire, and stuff like that. You know, the basic triangle, and then it gets more elaborate and weird when there's certain stuff, especially when you end up going into like, mixed types where you have like a bug and a grass Pokemon, which might neutralize some of their weaknesses because they have similar strengths.
Right, and like there's like. I don't know how accurate this is, but I heard on a different podcast, like 17 different types now.
It's 16 or 17, one of those two.
And then they can double up. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, that's a lot of information for somebody new coming into it. I feel like stupid playing the game. It's like this kid's game, and I just feel, I feel like an idiot playing it because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. It's, I'm just going to make my giant frog as strong as possible and try and beat anything that comes in my way.
I mean, that is a strategy. There are some people, you know, there are different ways to raise your Pokemon. I am what you call an all-rounder, so most of my Pokemon tend to stay around the same level. There are some people who kind of have, like, a captain who's, like, the strongest one. You could do HM Saves, which is, like, a Pokemon on your team who's just around there and those special moves you need to navigate the environment. So there's various strategies to Pokemon raising and stuff like that. But yes, it does take a lot of dedication, which is the aspect of the franchise that I never got into. Like, people who EV train, which is like boosting certain stats for your Pokemon so they're better competitively.
Great. I mean, it sounds fantastic from, like, from an outsider's perspective, I guess. Like, there's this great, like, undercurrent for Pokemon. I just don't think it's for me. That's okay. I'm good. I tried it.
You suck.
My Pokemon are cute, I guess. I have like a ninja frog and a turtle and a pigeon.
You have a ninja turtle? Okay, maybe I should get him a Pokemon.
I think he has a Squirtle. That probably will fall off the top.
I have a ninja frog and then a turtle.
Oh.
Yeah.
And a pigeon. And some other
things. So it's like my mom trying to figure out Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Exactly. I'm like your mom trying to figure out Ninja Turtles.
Those ninja, like, frog things in the sewer. That's where Pokemon came from.
It's like, just go run in the grass and crap will attack you.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the origins of the franchise. Probably somebody who enjoyed catching 80 bugs when they were younger and decided we'll make an entire game out of this.
It would not surprise me at all, coming from Nintendo, when, like, you hear, like, the crazy ways some of the games that, like, Miyamoto has designed have come up. Like, well, Pikmin came from, like, he was, like, gardening or something.
Yeah, and I believe Zelda was itself of going into caves as a child and exploring.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fascinating to think that, like, somebody might have just been, like, collecting bugs as a kid and was like, what if we made them battle?
And why don't you make lots and lots of money?
Oh, yeah. It sold, like, 4 million copies in, like, the first couple days, so.
Yeah. It's no GTA 5, but.
No, but, I mean, that's...
like, nothing else is, so...
Like, Tomb Raider probably would have been happy with 4 million sold in the first couple days.
Well, Tomb Raider might have been. Square Enix might not have been.
Yeah, that's true. You didn't hit the 5 million we needed.
Square Enix.
They'd have canceled the next Pokemon game. Sorry, we're done with this series.
It's... interesting. I'll continue to play it. I did buy the digital version, so I always have it now.
I think it's a good game to get digitally. I wanted to get it, you know, if not for getting it cheaper, because it is one of those types of games where I think another thing that's really good about the franchise is the fact that you pick it up and play for like a minute or 10 minutes or whatever you want.
Yeah.
And still kind of make progress.
And it does something that like other games should take note of, is it allows you to save just about anywhere. Like, as long as you are not in the middle of a battle, you can save. And that is a quite great for, like, you can just pop it open, play really quickly, save, and then cut back out. And it actually does make it a true mobile game.
Yeah, I would also note that they made the saving much shorter, because it used to be tedious in black and white. It would take, like, 20 seconds.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it takes all that long. And that experience share that Fozzie told me about after the first gym helps to kind of...
Yeah,
so you're not grinding every single Pokemon.
Yeah, they kind of cut down a lot of the tediness of the franchise with that and get an XP for catching Pokemon now as well.
Yeah. You get a XP for just about, you know, anything imaginable in a battle now, so...
Yeah. And also, I guess the Royal Blade actually makes it go faster as well, because your movement is just a bit speedier. So they did a lot of stuff that kind of speeds up the entire process. It's still an extremely tedious game, though, if you play it too much.
Yeah, which I've only put a few hours into it, and I'm just going to keep playing it at that pace, and maybe I won't burn out on it like I did my last Pokemon experience. So we'll see. Anything else you've been playing?
Batman Arkham Origins are the buggiest game this year, apparently. lucky enough, apparently I lucked out. I got the Wii U version, and that seems to be the least buggy version of the bunch.
I'm playing it on
PC.
It's okay there.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's Batman Arkham City Plus. I mean, honestly, it's Arkham City with a new coat of paint and some snow. Which isn't a complaint. I mean, it was a really fantastic game to begin with, and there aren't really many types of games that get on the market right now. Like, a lot of people try to copy the combat system, but they don't do it nearly as well. So I'm happy to see that. I saw a lot of complaints on other podcasts and reviews that are complaining about the fact that this game's kind of centers around, like, Jesus and some Batman. And I don't really get the point. I mean, the point is, it doesn't matter who you're beating up as long as you're beating them up as Batman. And we kind of ran the gauntlet with them in Arkham City. I think that threw in everybody you can name that was important in the Bat Force as a villain at some point.
All right. I mean, you're going to have to scrape the barrel at some point to... And I don't think these are bad villains. Like,
I don't think it's bad villains. My biggest beef with it, and I don't know how much I can spoil, is I think the concept they sold this game on was a lot more interesting than the concept they ended up going with. The concept of Batman having to fight 8 assassins over the course of the night sounded interesting to me. The concept of these assassins kind of being side quests to the main game every so often, not so much.
Yeah, and I don't know if we can talk about, like, what the actual main quest is. I don't know if that's out there in the open or not.
I won't talk about the main quest, but they did advertise the fact that the Joker is the main villain in this game.
Right. So that's what this game is. It's like the origin of Batman beating the Joker. This isn't like Batman's first quest. Like, he's been Batman for a little bit now. He's younger, but he's been Batman for, like, he has the cool toys. He has the Batcave. And
yeah, I think it's 2 years they say in the game at some point. But yeah, this is kind of the origin. And I assume this is also the origins of the Asylum. I haven't gotten that far into the game. But the way they're kind of... I don't think it's mentioned in the fact that Arkham exists in this. I think... Like, there might have been a note that Arkham is looking to rebuild it, but I think at some point the Asylum may play a part into this game. I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet. But, yeah, that's my main beef, is the fact that they kind of brought back the Joker again, because Arkham Asylum was cool. It's the Joker. He kind of sets this trap. Arkham City was sold as, oh, it's going to be Hugo... we're just going to do the Joker again. And this is just like, oh, no, there's not Assassins. It's the Joker again. It's like... At some point, there's more than one bat phone you can have as the centerpiece of your story.
Yeah, and maybe this trilogy of Arkham games, maybe that centers around... Maybe that's who they picked. Like, we're going to center this around the Joker, and whatever Rocksteady's next game is, we'll focus on a different villain. But, yeah, it's gotten a little bit tiresome.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that they do something, you know, freshen it up. I also hope they kind of, I don't mind the open world stuff, but it doesn't seem like it's an engine that's really well suited for it. Because, like, navigating this world, I love that navigating with guiding, but what happens is a lot of times the game would just kind of freeze because it needs to go to the next area into the system, and that's just really off-putting when you like free-falling and it's like, oh wait, you gotta wait 5 seconds while we go to the next area.
That's weird. I'm not running, and I wonder if that's just, due to the power of, like, the Wii U, 360, and PS3. I'm not really experiencing that at all on PC. It seems pretty seamless. But I'm still really not a fan of the open world aspect of it. Like, it seems pretty empty.
Yeah, I mean, this game does a better job with... I think it does a better job with the rigid challenges, making them more integral into the game.
Right.
I also feel it suffers from the same problem I have with Arkham City, in that there's way too many of them.
Yeah, what was it? There was a ton in Arkham City, like well over 100, right?
I thought it was like Cursed Egg 200 and something.
Yeah, might be more accurate.
But this one, it's like you have the relay stations, then you have like the relay, like the jammers, and then you have like the surveillance cameras, and then you have the rigid hinges that you have to beat up and get information from, and then you have to get the blackmail data. So it's a bunch of stuff that you have to do to unlock a bunch of other stuff to do in the city.
Yeah. I mean, and it seems like there's some other things too. Like there's a penguin weapon cache thing, but really that just amounts to going and beating up the dudes and like disrupting something.
Yeah, that's a lot of the side quests. The penguin has the drug cache. Black Mass has the drug cache. I like the anarchy one where it's kind of the time mission to get the
bomb. Yeah, you have to beat all the guys in a certain amount of time to disarm the bomb, but it's okay. Yeah.
Those are cool. The thing I like, the big addition that I like here, and I mean, Arkham, I think Asylum and City did this, but not as much, is kind of the crime recreation scenes.
Yeah, I they're actually really good. It's probably my favorite part of the game.
Yeah, I wish there were more of those, or they were more integral to the game, because a lot of them do seem to be like side quests you pick up. But yeah, I like the fact that he gets to kind of investigate crime scenes, and you just kind of, you know, you kind of, I mean, granted, it's really basic stuff. You're just kind of holding down the button to see where something came from, where it went. But it is kind of neat to kind of see him actually work through this case and picking up the pieces and threads to decipher what's going on. I just did one with a helicopter crash, which is pretty awesome because that's mostly the level, because it's where the helicopter landed. It's where, you know, where it got hit, finding a sniper. It ends up with one of the assassins. I won't say who, but you can kind of figure it out, I guess, if you know which one's a really good crack shot.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of reveal all the villains, like that, all the assassins at the beginning, so.
Yeah, like I said, I enjoyed them being in there, but a lot of them ended up being relegated to side quests. I think so far, half of them have been side quests that you don't really need to do to finish the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just pretty much mainlining it at this point, and I don't know, I feel I'm pretty far in, maybe I'm not, but I've only fought, like, technically I've fought three, but one was kind of a joke. The first one is just, like, you press the punch button and it's over.
That was an awesome fight, though.
Yeah, it was really amusing, but then the next, you know, assassin battle I found overwhelmingly tedious.
Yeah, I find a lot of the boss battles to be not, I guess because they're a lot more combat oriented, it's not a game that's really well suited for one-on-one combat.
Yeah, I mean, the way that combat system works is that, you know, you're bouncing off of a horde of enemies, so like you're working through a crowd. And that's what makes that system so well. And when you're facing somebody one-on-one, it's not quite as engaging, and they make these guys way tougher because they should be, but it just doesn't seem like it's as much fun. I found it to be somewhat tedious. Like, I found that one, and then there's the Copperhead battle. I found that one to be tedious as well. And it's like, I'm enjoying parts of the game, but there are parts that I really like.
Yeah, it's the Mr. Freeze battle, I think, is the one that people hold up as kind of the benchmark for the series, and it's really hard to replicate that with a lot of the villains in this universe, because, I mean, most people can't really go toe to toe with Batman on a fist to fist, which is why this battle system isn't made for 1-on-1. I'm curious, have you played the multiplayer?
I have not. Have you tried any of it?
It's not on the Wii U.
Oh, so. I've heard people say really good things about it. I have no interest in playing Batman multiplayer.
I didn't either, which is why I skipped out on it. But I've also heard it's one of those multiplayer games, which I don't know if everybody still does this, where you need a full party. So you need, I think it's like 10 people. And it's not a game mode that a lot of people are going to be invested in, so I can't really see that getting a lot of use in a couple of weeks or you know,
right,
during a couple of days after the launch.
When people move on to something else, it's not going to... I've been surprised in the past, though. Like, I did not think Mass Effect was going to have multiplayer that was worth doing, and people really got behind that, so... I don't think this game probably has that draw, but who knows?
I mean, I'm happy for them trying it, but it just, again, it's a combat system that's really not made for one-on-one.
Right.
And it's a game system that, as far as I know, doesn't have actual shooting mechanic for the main characters. So I'm really kind of curious how that works.
Yeah, maybe I'll try it once after I beat the game. Just kind of like play with it if there's anybody playing on PC, but... I don't think I'll be putting too much time into it. Much like with Assassin's Creed multiplayer. Just not something I ever really
feel like. I've played every Assassin's Creed game, and I've hardly put any time into the multiplayer.
It's really inventive, and it's just... I don't have really any interest in doing it.
I was going to say, I tried the beta for it the first time. I actually enjoyed the Assassin's Creed multiplayer. It just seems really slow paced, though.
Yes. Well, that game is like when I guess you can just go at it head on, but that game's not designed for you to like fight head on. Like it's kind of built around stealth, so yeah, anything with stealth is going to be a little bit more slow.
Well, I suppose you could say that the first game was built around stealth. It kind of made whoever you happen to be playing as
just like, a giant badass
killing machine. Yeah.
I hear it's more like that now. Why don't you give us the rundown on Assassin's Creed 4?
This time around, you're not even playing as an assassin, so you're just playing as a guy who happens to be a pirate. It made me so angry. So he finds the assassin. I won't go into how he finds the assassin costume and all that stuff, but he gets an assassin costume. He picks up the hidden blade and he throws it away. Like, great. He should have renamed the game series too, because you're no longer an assassin. He does do a lot of like sneaking around and killing people, but now he's not like, I don't know. The hidden blade was just, it was Assassin's Creed to me. And when he tosses it away, I got so angry.
How far in are you?
But so, I played about 2 hours.
Okay. I wonder if that makes a comeback. Maybe he needs to go later.
I'm sure it does. I would think that would have to. But, we'll see. It'll probably take me a while to get to that point. But, right now, he's just a random dude who, for whatever reason, has elite killing skills, even though he's just a random dude who picked up an assassin's costume, which makes absolutely no sense. But so the narrative makes, I mean, it's out there. Here, I don't know that I will even bother trying to figure out what's going on, because it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what this guy's motivations are. He finds the assassin costume. He steals a quest from the assassin, and now he's just like following it along and doesn't know what's going on. And it's absurd. I don't know what he's doing. But the game world seems really big and really like colorful. More colorful than the previous Assassin's Creed games, which were, even though they incorporated historical locales, were really bland, I guess. It's all Caribbean islands, so you start off, where the hell are you? Havana. And Havana is very lush and very tropical, and it's a completely different setting for the game. I guess you'll see where it affects it mechanically. I haven't seen any, like, it's still very much Assassin's Creed. If you played any of the games probably from 2 on, it will feel instantly like any of those other games. I don't know. There's always those absurd moments in the beginning of the game where they're teaching you how to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, let's go to the bar and check in, and the guy you're with forgets where the bar is. You're like, oh, I'm going to climb this church steeple and find it for you.
at this point, it's like, you understand why they need to do that, but it's like, this is the sixth mainline Assassin's Creed game. I don't need this anymore.
I don't need the tutorial, and if you're going to throw it in there, you could make it a little bit less absurd.
Right.
Like, I'm going to climb to the top of this building instead of, I don't know, asking a passerby where the bar might be. Just throw that out there.
Why do I need to climb all the way to the top or something? Hey, do you know where the bar is? Oh, no. No need to ask. I'll find out. I'll climb to the top of this steeple.
It's like the ultimate, like, the dad who won't ask anybody who's got his, like, map when he's lost in his car. Like, no, I'm not asking. I'm going to find
him. I'm going to climb this tree over here.
Right. Look out. We'll see if I can see Grandma's house over the ridge. No. I guess the only other thing I really noticed were some weird bugs in the pathfinding of the AI guys. Which makes sneaking really hard. So in one of the early missions, you have to get something out of this fort. And it's pretty easy to sneak into the fort and get through the corridors. And then at some point, you make it to the center of the fort. And there's these two higher-level enemies with, I think they're armed with, like, really big axes. They're tough to kill. So you try to sneak by them, but the two guys are stuck. One of them is rotating in place, and the other one is, like, walking in a circle around him. So they, like, have 360-degree field of vision because they're stuck. For whatever reason, the AI pathfinding is screwed up, and you can't, like, sneak by them.
So how did you get by, or did you reset the game?
Oh, I threw a smoke bomb and killed them.
Wait, a smoke bomb killed them? Oh, you snuck in through the smoke bomb.
The smoke bomb didn't kill them. The smoke bomb, they were coughing, and I walked up and stabbed them with a sword. But it just, like, there was absolutely no way I could have snuck by there. Like, I had to reveal myself, and of course, now the entire fort knows that I'm there, and they're all, like, high alert. And I don't know, just weird AI pathfinding, and I've seen videos of other people trying to play the game and seeing the same thing. Not in the same spot, though, so just randomly these AI guys will get stuck to each other.
I wonder if that's something it
might be. The AI also seems to be a lot more aggressive with you when you're, like, wandering through the streets. Like, they have no idea who I am, but they're chasing after me anyway.
Maybe because they say you're hopping on roofs to go to the bar.
Right. So what's up with this drunk
No,
dude?
But I'm just walking down the streets, and they're chasing me down. I just
do they maybe know you're a pirate? Like,
I mean, I suppose that could be it, but it doesn't make it clear,
right?
Like, why they're after me. The character has never been in this village or this city before,
so they shouldn't know, like,
who I am,
right? Like, maybe they know your reputation as a pirate, but they probably don't know who you actually are.
Right. So, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of nonsensical stuff. I hope the game wraps itself up together more. I definitely need to put more time into it, but...
How does play on a... And you're playing on 360, right? Like,
playing on 360, yeah.
Like other Assassin's Creed games, or are you noticing, like, some chugging, or...
No, it was really smooth. It played really well. In terms of, like, raw technical issues, I haven't seen anything.
Cool.
How is the main story kind of tying together? Do they not do that anymore?
So, how spoilerish should I get with Assassin's Creed 3?
Not spoiler. I haven't played it yet, so I know it's a year old, but I do enjoy the Desmond storyline, although I know that evidently, that got wrapped up.
Yes, Desmond is not in this one. I believe it points more towards... You played the other Assassin's Creed game, though, that came out last year, right?
Revelations? Not Revelations.
Liberation.
Liberation, yes.
Yes. So that one, apparently you were an employee of, is it Abstergo?
You weren't anything. Yeah, in
the Templar company?
So Liberation is really weird. The way Liberation starts is, like, you bought this, like the Animus is something that's out there in the open that
right.
you can buy, and it is, like, Liberation is sold as a piece of entertainment
right.
To the general public, and that's, like, you never actually get out of the Animus in Liberation, and it's just kind of explained to you that you bought this as a piece of entertainment, so it's, like, almost like a holodeck, like holodisk or something. Like, sub-story.
Right. So in 4, you are an employee of the company that makes these entertainment devices.
Okay.
And so you're researching into Kenway's past in order to make a game.
Hmm.
Which is all I know about the storyline so far. I've been in the present day for like 5 minutes. So,
but you are still
not a whole lot of depth there yet. But that
you still have to get out of the Animus.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I got to get into the Animus, and that was as far as I've gotten.
Obviously, have not finished the Desmond storyline, and I'm not caught up on the series. Couldn't play 3 yet, but I've always enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah,
like the weird sci-fi, real world aspect going on. Although it did get really weird with the Desmond stuff.
It's gonna get weirder too if you play through 3.
Yeah, I plan on it, and then I'll jump into 4 at some point. So.
One day.
Yeah. When I get some time. Which probably won't be anytime soon, so.
No.
Unless they're going to make an Assassin's Creed collection of all the current gen games.
What do they do if they remake the next gen on like Xbox and PS4? Like, what do they do if they remake an HD game?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they call it an HD collection anymore? Did they call it an HD collection?
Well, I guess you would just either do collection,
a
or
really
you play
high def collection,
or you probably
or
just
like
remastering. Yeah, or like an anniversary edition. Like, it's Assassin's Creed is, I don't know what, like, it's 10 years old now. Here's the Assassin's Creed anniversary collection, where it has all the previous Assassin's Creed games in it, and you can get it for $60.
Or they could do movies and do like anthology.
Yeah, so, something like that, where you bundle them up. You just give them a reason to double dip.
And people will for that 1080p.
Yeah.
True.
You also played some Lego Marvel, I saw.
Oh, I think I played more of that than I played Assassin's Creed.
That game's really good.
I actually had my it is, it's so good. I had my son in the room watching me play through the first level. He was like, "Sandman is bad," and he was throwing like my wife's slippers at the TV.
I'm like, no, don't do that.
No, stop.
You're right, Sandman
is
bad.
So good. He is really bad, and Dr. Octopus also bad, and Green Goblin bad. They're all bad.
Yeah, he's got it down.
But it's so good. It's the best Lego game I've ever played.
We talked about it a little bit last
week.
It's
good. It's not good for a Lego game, though. It's good for, like, a game.
Yeah.
This is an excellent game for anyone, I think.
I'd agree. It's a little simplistic, but, it's a Lego game. What do you want? Took me a little bit to get into it, because, like, when we talked about it last week, I was like, yeah, it's a Lego game, and I think that first level does a great job of kind of, like, introducing you to the characters, but it just feels like been here, done this before, and then the open world doesn't really open up until later in the game. Like, the more you play, the more the open world opens up, and then the levels start to get really kind of fun and interesting as you get different characters, and there's just so many in this game.
And they all feel so different.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you have, like, Spider-Man can, like, he has special powers that he can do. Iron Man has special powers that he can do, where, like, Thor, like, and, like, some of them share powers, like, where they can, like, some of them can fly, and some of them have super strength, and, like, but they just do a great job of everything kind of mixing together, and each one feeling different, which makes it really kind of enjoyable, and the story gets really funny as it goes on, which, I mean, the humor's always been there in, like, the LEGO games, but I think they do a really good job with being
so goofy. I love the
so
random objects
enough.
That Mr. Fantastic squeezes himself into.
Yeah. and, like,
oh, ball cutters, sure. Wrecking ball, okay.
There's an achievement for, like, just, like, pressing the transform button for no apparent reason, and you turn into a teacup. That'll pop an achievement, so... I like how, like, you can change from the Hulk into Bruce Banner, like, back then.
Yeah. And there are reasons to do it, too. They don't...
Right, because, like the Hulk can't operate machinery or computers
right.
or
you can't climb up a rope.
Yeah, so
But couldn't he just jump?
It depends on how high it is. Like, I mean, he gets some height, but he can't... I mean,
also, if he jumped onto a water tower, he might destroy it.
Right.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense why he can't do things, so... And then, like, the thing kind of... Like, he works pretty much the same, but... they just put him in different encounters. Like, you don't... Where the Hulk is there, it makes sense for the Hulk to be there. And when, like, the Thing is there, it makes sense for the Thing to be there. And the ending, because I beat it last night, it's pretty good. And there's so much to do in that game. I'm not going to get to it all. But the Guardians of the Galaxy are in the game, and the Coward the Duck is in the game. Like,
nice.
There's just they've really mined everything through Marvel, and it's pretty cool.
It sounds like this, because I really hated that about Lego Batman 2, where it was pretty much, oh, here's the DC characters at the very end of the game, and it's just the Justice League.
Oh, yeah, this has everybody. Like, I mean, yeah. Like, they'll go... You start out as the Avengers, and it kind of plays off of the Avengers movie. Like, that seems like... The sound effects for Iron Man are straight from, like Iron Man and the Avengers movie. What the hell? Nick Fury
it's
is...
It's like the Avengers version of, Hawkeye.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he has the, instead of, like, wearing, like, the classic
purple
outfit, he's wearing, like a dark black outfit, and, and then you have the X-Men, like, you'll go and you'll visit, the Xavier's, like, mansion, and the Fantastic Four's there, you'll go to the tower, and they just do a great job of integrating all these characters across the board, which is kind of fun. I mean, I'm kind of surprised because some of these characters, they're licensed to other publishers, so I guess maybe because they're LEGO characters that they were able to work around that, but it was nice to see they were able to get everybody together and do it well.
It sounds like fun. I'm probably going to pick it up when I have time.
You have to, Earl. This is a requirement. I'm requiring it.
Yeah. When Don, like, made that his pick of the week last week, I think, I was, like, a little, like, I don't know. I mean, it's a LEGO game. I've played a ton of LEGO games this generation. And, like, just, you know, Batman's coming out, and it's kind of a known quantity. Like, he made a good call there. It's a really good game.
I go fanboy. Yeah, I can't wait to check it out, though. I really wish they would add on co-op to that franchise, though.
Yeah, that would be nice. I wonder where that series is going to go going forward, though.
Are they doing a Lego the movie video game?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard, so... I mean, they dump out... How many Lego games? Like, was it three this year that came out? Maybe it was only two this year.
Oh.
So maybe it's three
Lego
last year.
Lego City Undercover...
I think it was only Undercover, they re-released Batman for the Wii U, and I guess Marvel. Last year it had Batman, I think it had Lord of the Rings, and there was another one there as well.
Yeah, there were three last year, that's what it was. And those are the ones that we kind of know about, because Traveler's Tales actually works on the other LEGO games that get released that probably don't get as much press, like the Legends of Chima, which... It's like some new Lego branding, like original Lego branding that is out there. Like there were games made for that by Traveler's Tales, so they push those games out.
I'm curious how many teams they have.
It has to be multiple ones. Like it just has to be. It would make no sense that.
I assume it's not the same one, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, at the same time, I mean, would it get old because you get to use all of these popular franchises? So it's kind of, even though you're making the same game, you kind of get to play around with different toys.
Yeah. And you're working with the same kind of stuff, but you are working in different universes and writing different stories, and maybe that helps.
And, I mean, definitely gameplay, because, I mean, like, the Harry Potter ones weren't really combat-centric.
Right.
You know, like, Indiana Jones is more puzzle-based. So, yeah. It's that.
This is pretty combat-heavy.
I would imagine so with superheroes.
Yeah, you beat up a lot of people. I guess, speaking of kids games, I finally sat down and played a little bit of Skylanders Swap Force. That game is really good. I mean, I've liked Skylanders in the past. It's basically like little kid Diablo. They've added a jump button, which sounds really dumb. It's like, why is that a big deal? But it actually makes the game like play a whole lot better. And allows you to do other things. And like the new gimmick this year is the swapping of body parts on these new characters. So you have a top part and a bottom part, and then you can rip them apart and put them on different tops and bottoms to create a whole new character, which isn't really wholly new, but close enough. And you know, they have different powers and. It's pretty cool. Like, and there's like combinations, so like you can have, like a lightning guy and a fire guy together. If you take a lightning guy and fire guy and you make them into something different. Playing through the first level, I was like, oh, this is pretty good. Like, I'm not locked out of a whole lot. But as you move on, like it very much is like you can just pass by that stuff, but there are definitely gates where it's like you want to have you're gonna want a fire guy and a water guy to open this gate, and there's not much in that area, but as like I could see as kids like being like hey I need a fire guy, mom, because I need to play this piece. So like and these different characters are like $15 a piece, so. That game could get really expensive really quickly.
Have you picked up any extra toys?
Two. That's it. Just two.
Only two you admit to?
No, that's only two new ones. Like, I mean, I have ones from last year, and that actually allows me to open up some of the other stuff, because I have enough of between my stuff and my son's stuff, we have enough that we can open up everything except for the new swap areas. And I don't even think you can open up all the swap areas yet because they have not released a full line of these characters yet. So there are actually elements that are out there that aren't being sold yet because they haven't been released.
Gotta get that Christmas money.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll release like a second round. Like Disney Infinity has been like just about every month releasing new stuff. They just released a new like toy pack, Toy Story in Space or whatever. So, yeah, that stuff's pretty cool. Once again, wondering how that's going to transition to the next gen. I know there is a PS4 and Xbox One version of Skylanders, but it would have been nice if there was just like some sort of upgrade system where you could just be like, I want to upgrade to, you know, the Xbox One version of Skylanders Swap Force, and you could just pay to get the new disc, but your portal or whatever would work. I don't think that's the case, though.
Is it USB or?
It is, but like a PS, like if you have it on PS3 and Xbox One, your portal won't work on like a PS3 and an Xbox 360 versions. Like they won't work on there. I don't know what it is within the thing, but or like a Wii U if you're using the Wii U version, my son can't take that over to his friend's house and like plug it into his friend's Wii. Like they have there's something different about each of the portals.
It's called money.
Yeah, they lock it out. Like it's so, but like that is the cool thing though. He can take his characters over to his friend's house and use them. Doesn't matter what system that they have. So it's cool. There's something tangible there for them to like, you know, kind of play with. And this time around, like, you can actually play with them because you are ripping them apart and putting them back together. And well made. The toys are like great build quality on them. Some of them are actually pretty cool looking, so. Did you guys play anything else this week?
Not I.
And, I got one other game to play. I played Path of Exile, which Fozzie talked about a while ago. Diablo clone, free to play on Steam. It's really good. It's Diablo, but you know, different story. I actually hit a wall though. I don't know if I'm gonna have to go and grind some levels out because I got up to the first boss, the first big boss, like to end the act, and he kicked my ass really quickly. So I'm wondering if I kind of have to run around for a bit and level, which would annoy me some, or if I have to team up with somebody. But I'd really rather just be able to play the game solo like I do Diablo. But other than that, great version of that type of game. So, and it's free. And none of the, like you can't buy anything with actual currency, like all that stuff's cosmetic and or extra slots. Like it's not, you can't go and buy like the best weapon in the game using real money. You have to earn that by, you know, either getting a drop or buying it in the game. Which it's, the other cool thing about it is there is no gold. Everything is done by barter. So, you know, if you go and you collect all the crap on the ground, you'll then go back to the in-town salesperson and you'll offer what you have to sell and then they'll give you a barter back. So it might be like a, you know, a town portal scroll or a wisdom scroll, which will allow you to identify a magic item. It's an interesting way of doing the in-game economy. But if you like Diablo games, I would definitely suggest playing that. It's pretty cool.
We should sign Jeff up for wait.
Yeah, it's on PC. But yeah, I think he would love that game because, I mean, it's what he loves about Diablo, so. And I think
the organize a collection for that boy.
Yeah. Next year, like taking donations to get Jeff a PC.
And then we even need a great one. Get him like a.
And then what we'll find out is that he is a, he becomes like a big strategy game fan. That's all he'll play anymore.
After he made fun of Civil War II.
Yeah.
I would hate that game.
Whatever. Let's do some news.
News! Alright, since Earl's here, we have to make fun of Nintendo.
That's not difficult to do these days. Well, ever, but...
So Nintendo released their quarterly earnings report. Wii U sales, over the last 6 months, they've sold less than 500,000 of them.
I think you're going to start with the other stuff, which is more impressive, is I think they sold negative 10,000 in Europe.
Wait, what?
I guess they ship, they have thrown so bad in Europe that they actually had to take back 10,000 units.
Oh no.
Yeah, so they have a negative shipment for the past quarter in Europe.
I missed that part. That's,
wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I like my Wii U. I think it's a great system, but it is not for everybody.
It's not for many people, it seems, right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is...
Not for anyone, really.
It is for people that want to play Nintendo games.
Yeah, it's a... I mean, they were in a tough jam to begin with. I really don't know where they can go from here, because they're too expensive to be kind of like that secondary starter console, and they're not really... They don't have the support to kind of compete with Microsoft and Sony. So they're kind of in this weird middle ground, and they don't have enough studios to support their console on their own, as we've seen this year.
Right.
They, I mean, if anything, they need to work on independent games to kind of fill the void and not have long goals. And maybe money, like they've been doing with, like, Wonderful 101 and Bayonetta.
Wonderful 101, which was, like, the 52nd...
I didn't say it was going to be the release. They don't need every game to sell systems, but they do need games.
They would help if they market them.
Yeah, that's the other problem. That came out this week as well. And I've noticed this year as well, recently. They have this really weird thing where they can only market one thing at a time. So, like, if you notice, like, I don't know how much you pay attention to their news and stuff, like, once Wind Waker came out, that's when they put all their attention on Pokemon. And once Pokemon came out, they put all their attention on Mario. So I assume when Mario comes out, that's when they're going to put all their attention on Donkey Kong and stuff like that. They can't market like an entire lineup at once. They have to focus on a single thing. And then once that's out, they move on to the next thing.
Well, at least they're marketing one thing.
Right.
Well, which is better than Sony can say for most of their stuff, so...
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the other thing was, I think they squeezed by with, I think they ended up making like $6 million this quarter.
They did, but it was because of the exchange rate, not because of anything they did, like, well. No.
But yeah, it's just, I mean, it's like a, such a minuscule number, it's like whatever. On the flip side, I don't know if you have this, but Sony also ended up losing, they also ended up losing not much money, but it's the same thing. I think they ended up losing like $12 million for the quarter.
Right. I don't know. I think both Sony and Microsoft have to be looking at down quarters because people are, like, putting off buying their consoles until the new one comes out, right?
Well, the problem with that, I think, I mean, Microsoft isn't as bad because Microsoft has other divisions. The problem with Sony is they need money because it's, like, right. The PlayStation is one of their more viable brands.
It's the only division in Sony that's actually... doing well.
And if it's anything, like, they came out and said that I think they're losing money on PlayStation 4, but I believe if you buy a subscription to PlayStation Plus and a game, it might help them break even. So they're hoping or not that people subscribe to the service. And, like, people are going to buy games. I don't know which ones, but people are going to buy games, I guess, when they buy their systems.
Oh, yeah.
Also helping out Sony, those $60 subscriptions to their music service, which is apparently the only way you can listen to music on your PS4.
Yeah.
So, I don't use this feature, all that offense. I don't know how big of a deal it is, but it seems really weird to take out functionality. Like,
yes.
Well, when you can charge for it.
Right, but, I mean, you're... At this point, they have to understand that, like, just about every device can do that, so if your device doesn't do it, I'm not going to go...
Right.
At this point, I'm already invested in whatever music source I bought into.
Well, I don't think people used it to play music, or I don't know how much, but I think the thing people enjoyed about it was you could use it kind of as an overlay type video game, so it would be like a custom soundtrack for certain titles.
Right. Yes.
And that's the feature that people wanted, and I guess they will be willing to pay $60 for that.
Or not.
We'll find out. I mean, I'm sure there are going to be some people who pay $60 for it.
Yeah, oh yeah. I was surprised at the number of people who were angry about it, though. Flipping out.
I wonder, was it so much that, or was it the other piece where you can now, was it DNLA, where you basically can't use your PS4 as a...
illegal streaming device?
Or even as a legal streaming device, like... Once again, not something that I do, but I mean, our friend Ryan, like he said he had, you know, I guess he has these like digital copies of movies that he actually owns on his PC on the hard drive, and he would use his PS3 to stream that stuff to his television, and now he can't do that with the PS4, but.
Well, I mean, they kind of started that with the PS3 because certain they would have. I guess security checks, and if the movie was legitimate or they found out it was, it would like cut off the audio during the movie, so you couldn't watch the rest of it. I mean, you could watch it, you wouldn't hear anything. Not that that's ever happened to me or anything.
We know you do everything above the board, Earl.
buy the books, always buy the books. And I guess there was a lot of stuff that actually came out during this FAQ they put up on their website.
Yeah. Well, we also hadn't talked about this. This came out after we recorded the show last week. The day one, not required, but strongly suggested patch.
Well, if you want to do anything with your system.
Yes. If you want to, say, play a Blu-ray or online multiplayer or, you know, anything except offline gaming. You have to download the patch. But it's not required that you have your console on online on day one like it is for the Xbox.
Right. It's weird.
It's like a distinction without a difference land here.
Welcome. Welcome to Sony's campaign of misinformation.
Well, I mean, it's not misinformation. They were just nice enough to hold off with the negative until the end. It's the same strategy they ran with the Vita, in that everything seemed peachy keen coming out of E3, and then by the time the launch rolled around, it's like, yeah, all this stuff we promised, well, it's kind of coming at some point.
We hope.
Or maybe not. But
if you buy enough of our product.
Because I think the other thing that came out was, and this is, you know, it's going to be dependent on the developers, and I believe this is the same for Xbox One, is the video recording service. The developer can decide to not allow you to record certain parts of the game.
Right.
And did I didn't read the fact, but did I hear correctly that you cannot post that stuff to YouTube? Like there's no native way to do that?
Apparently not. I think it is because there's an exclusive deal with Twitch. Did I read that correctly?
Possibly. Which makes that that streaming and that recording stuff less enticing to me.
Right.
I mean, YouTube is where people go to post their crap. Where people go to watch that crap. So,
they're not going to the other services.
Like Twitch is great if you're watching people stream live, but
right.
I mean, I don't know about Twitch's archiving services or if they even have archiving services. And
they have archiving services, but Yeah, I think it's one of those. I don't know how search and go. I think you'd have to know the person's channel to find it.
Right.
Like YouTube, where you can just type in a game and like, oh, I'll check this out. Even though personally speaking, I hate Let's Play, but that's a whole different category.
Oh no, I understand, but that obviously that stuff does well for some segment of the gaming community because these people have blown up over the last year or so. Like the big ones at least, like
I know Total Biscuit because he was in the news recently.
One that the PewDiePie or something like that. He's evidently a really big one that I've heard his name mentioned as well.
I don't get it, but you know, to each their own, I guess.
Right. I mean, I would rather play a game than watch somebody else play a game and talk over it. But
yeah, I don't mind somebody else playing the game. It's when they give this god awful commentary that you have to listen to, because.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind, like the Giant Bomb stuff, like, where they do, like, a quick look. I actually like that, especially for, like, a game that I'm on the fence of. I want to see what it's about, but that's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's different, because I think a lot of it, it's usually pre-release, so it's kind of like a very elaborate preview, where most of the stuff is after the game's come out, and it's like, yeah, I can either buy it or read reviews. I'm not going to sit here and listen to this idiot mumble on for an hour.
And if I really, like, they post the entire game, like, a lot of the time. So it's like, all right, well, I've now actually seen the whole game. If I want to sit here and watch his 10 different videos, like, where's the
point? Well, I mean,
that
might work for some David Cage games.
Maybe. I mean, it's like watching a movie, so. I don't know.
Very bad movie. Anyhow, I'm not going to beat up on David Cage on this podcast as well.
Beat him up everywhere. Beat him.
There are people who enjoy those, I'm going to use quote-unquote games, and I'm sure people are going to hate that term as well, but there's people who enjoy his experiences.
You are entitled to your opinion. I think I know at least some of us on this podcast enjoy it, so... That's one spot where our PS3 list will differ from yours, so. anything else from that fact?
There was so much in there. My brain shut off after a while, though, I have to say. There was so much vitriol, I couldn't stand it anymore.
So it's weird that the pendulum has kind of swung a little bit. Probably not enough to
balance out the
right,
four
but,
months
but,
of hatred.
But it is kind of like interesting to see that favor has turned against Sony. They've been so strong and had so much momentum.
And again, I think it's partially because they didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Nintendo stumbling over themselves left and right. Microsoft had to pay the bad guy. And Sony literally had to say nothing and they were winning people over.
Yeah. And now
they're at a point where that information actually has to come out because, you know, the system's about to be here. And it's not all kittens and rainbows.
No, I'm assuming, like, it's not going to matter for either one of them. They're both going to sell extremely well this year. Right. I think the problem is going to be once the people who are kind of hyped for it buy it, it's going to be the problem going into next year, especially looking at what both of them kind of offer the first 3 months of the year. It's
right.
Going to be interesting to watch.
Which isn't much. So, I mean, they both have one big game in that first 3 months, so...
I think one of them has a big game, the other one's infamous.
No, I'd agree. I'd agree with that. Some people would argue with you that Infamous is... bigger than we're giving it credit for, but
I will say this: I love Infamous. It's one of my favorite PS3 games, as you heard on all this. It's like number three. Infamous is not a great seller, though. You can make a good game and not a great seller, and that's the only thing. Like Titanfall is an unknown quantity, but it has a lot more hype for it right now than Infamous does. I don't think people mention Infamous Second Son.
No, it's like I hear it amongst a certain contingent of people.
You can say Sony fans.
Yes. Like, I mean, like, when they talk, well, Infamous is coming out. Like, we have Infamous. like, okay, well, I'm going to get Infamous, so I'm getting both, but I'm also going to get Titanfall. And more people seem to be buzzing about Titanfall than
right.
than anything else for this generation coming forward.
Yeah, that's what it is. People are getting Xboxes to get Titanfall. People are getting Infamous because they'll have PS4s.
Yeah, I think that's the major difference.
Right.
And it's going to be a very tiny subset of those people. And I have no idea what Drive Club's going to do.
Nothing now.
I don't know if you folks answer this. I'm kind of curious. What do you think is going to be the best-selling next-gen title at launch this year?
At launch?
Oh, God. Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Huh?
I would not be surprised.
I was going more for the next-gen exclusive title.
Exclusively, I would say Killzone on the PS4. It's kind of
Forza?
Maybe?
I feel like it's going to be Rise. I feel like Rise is one of those games that shows well in a commercial or a trailer.
Well, apparently it is the most beautiful game that will be on the Xbox One at launch. Is what I'm hearing.
Even if it only runs at a P on 900p?
Right. No one can tell. I hate these resolution conversations. Like, okay, sure. If you have your 70-inch TV and you sit like 6 feet away from it, number one, you're going blind. Number two, now you can tell the difference between 1080 and 960. Congratulations.
It's a fun.
Your pair of glasses. Enjoy.
It's a fun conversation to have. Well, I don't have it because I don't care. Because ask 95% of the people with HD TVs, and they probably couldn't tell you what resolution whatever they were right. watching or playing was at. like, I'll be honest, I can't even do that. Like, if my friend asked me what resolution Batman on the Wii U was, and I didn't know how to check that. Like, I don't know. It's on my TV. If it stays well, I'm good to go.
Right.
Right, like, does it look good? Does it play well?
Right.
Like, honestly, that's all that I care about. So when I sit down to play Call of Duty, which I'm going to do, all I care about is that it plays well and it looks decent.
Right.
Like,
I'm not going to put, like, six different copies of the game next to each other and find, like, the one that has the color red in the greatest, like, resolution. That's not going
to
happen.
I mean, and if that's what you need to do to justify your $400 purchase, fine. But you sound like an idiot doing it.
Right.
I would say it's, I think it's the people who get, who are really worrying if like 1080p is the future. Like, yeah, that's like, nobody cares except for you and maybe like five other people who are behind you. The rest of the world is like, I'm playing a good game no matter what it looks like.
It's like what, like, I mean, I know a lot of games this generation ran at what, like 720p. Like,
right.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Halo Reach ran at, like, 560.
Yeah, I think Call of Duty runs at, like, 620. I would say, of this generation, I think Grand Theft Auto 5 would have been the best-selling game that actually runs at an HD resolution. I mean, we know none of the Wii games do. Halo doesn't. Call of Duty doesn't.
Right. Like, and guess what? Those games all look fine.
Right.
And,
what an awful conversation for awful people.
And the Xbox One is, there's, I think both of them actually have this, but there is an upscaler on the Xbox One.
Right.
That it's going to run at 1080p, it's just not native. Like, the machine is going to make it run properly on your television.
You can't tell the difference.
I will say this for the other side. I understand, you know, where they're coming from. They want the best performing game, the best looking game. I get that. And that, you know, that's a segment of the population that's going to get that. But I feel like people going into the store on November 15th and November 22nd aren't going to look at the back of the box and say, like, does this game run in 1080p, 60 frames per second? Or does it run at 720p and 30 frames per second? I mean, it's not a conversation. I don't even know. Let's see. I have a couple of games here. Do any games actually have the resolution on them?
I have four games on my desk right now, and I don't see the resolution on any of them.
Okay. My Tomb Raider does.
It's oh, Yep, Madden runs at 720p, 1080i, and 1080p. Whatever the fuck that means. That's three different resolutions.
Yeah, I think it's just like it's HD. Like, I assume it's probably 720p.
Right, it's probably whatever your monitor, whatever you're displaying it on, can display it at, because the game probably isn't actually running native on any of those resolutions.
Yeah, it's probably just upscaling. But yeah, I don't think it's something that people are going to concern themselves with. Like, I understand, you know, for the future people, I can see a, you know, some marked difference between the Xbox and the PS4 probably. But it's going to be like this generation, I assume. Depending on whichever one takes the lead out of the gate, it's going to be the one that people develop for. The Xbox 360 was comparatively much weaker than the PS3, but like 90% of the multi-platform games ran better on that system because it was the platform. If that continues next generation, it really won't matter how much more powerful the PS4 is. If Sony dominates this generation, that's going to be a concern, but I don't think there are many third-party developers who can live without both systems, so you're not going to see them skipping out on Xbox versions because they can't run their PS4 titles.
No, if anything, they're going to, even if the PS4 is the, you know, more powerful one as it's being touted as, like, if they need both Xbox One and PS4 sales, they're going to develop for the one that, you know, the lower of the two.
Right.
And, like that, I mean, you're gonna see great first party games from Sony, but my guess is third-party games are going to be pretty comparable on both sides.
Or at least the human eye. I think most people, again, it's going to a meta perspective. Like, it's going to run better on one system than the other, but most people won't care. I guess it's a situation with, like, this gen, with, like, Bayonetta on the PS3 and the Xbox 360, where it's literally unplayable on a PS3 because of technical issues. That's not a graphical problem. That's a technical issue.
Right. And if that happens, that's an issue, but
yeah,
I have a feeling that, like, visually, you're not going to be able to see that much of a difference between the two, unless, like, you are, you know, a video tech geek, that's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the big difference will be in the first party titles, obviously, when, you know, like, you have people like Naughty Dog and Quantum Dreams, who can really kind of get underneath the hood and push that technology. But Microsoft, I think, also kind of get away with the fact that their style is a lot more, I guess, grounded. I don't really know how you compare. Like, Sony and Microsoft make similar games, but I guess Microsoft tends to have more fantastical elements. Like, Gears of War and Halo aren't really kind of human-based.
Right.
Where you can kind of tell, like, you know, Nathan Drake is a human male, and the people from Beyond Two Souls and Heavy Rain are modeled after humans, so you get a lot more detail because you know what you're going for, where Master Chief can be a bit shinier.
Sure. He's basically a cyborg, so. and like, the, obviously, like, Marcus and Dom and all the guys from Gears, they're big muscle, like, they're exaggerated humans, like.
Yeah. And I don't think we're going to see Alan Wake again, so we don't have to worry about that guy.
Probably not. And Fable is cartoony, so.
And pretty damaged.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go with it. It is kind of funny, though, that the Digital Foundry stuff for Battlefield 4 came out, PS4 and Xbox One, and they had side-by-side comparisons. Evidently, the PS4 runs at a higher resolution there, natively. When they were putting those images up, like, my Twitter feed was going, like, the Xbox One looks way better. Like,
well, I
like,
think,
and it's just, like, just the way the colors and contrasts are, like, default-wise on that, it's just, like, to them, that appeared better.
Well, I think it came out later on that they might have screwed up the encoding of that video because there was this huge thing about them trying, you know, paying favors for Microsoft or something. But
I don't, like, I did hear about that Gaff forum post where somebody was saying that somebody else messed up at Digital Foundry, but in that article, like, they say they go back and they, you know, hook that same system up to their PS3s and other systems there and got fine recording out of it. So obviously, like, you need to tune for each individual system that comes on, but I don't know. A gaff post is not the same as, like, an actual, like, they didn't take down that article.
No.
That's still up there.
I will say this much, because they weren't the only ones who did that. And, I mean, the thing I took away from all of these things is, like, it's really not going to make a major difference what system you get most of these games for.
Right.
They're pretty much the same across the board. Like, even, like, I think there was videos of comparing, like, Assassin's Creed, PS3, and Assassin's Creed.
That's going to be the big thing, you know, between, you know, the next couple weeks is just going to be, you know, these duplicate comparisons where you're going, here's the PS3, the PS4 version, here's the Xbox One version, which one looks better? And I'm going to look at them both and go, I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, I just a mini rant on that. I do love the fact that game journalists are always like, we think console wars are stupid. You know,
and they just feed into it.
Yes, exactly. Like, game journalists, the entire month has been Microsoft versus Sony, the next-gen showdown. And I'm like, you're feeding into this mentality, and then you complain about it during, like, the bonus round.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is like, gamers need to grow up. It's not a war. It's like, the only winners are the gamers. Like, it's, shut up, because you're totally feeding into this whole stupid console war thing. Why don't you just tell your readers, and some of it is, like, that's what the audience wants, so you kind of have to, you got to target towards it, but then don't bitch about it later on.
Yeah, like, I have no problem if you want to, you know, it's a big, exciting thing, you know, it happens every couple of years. You know, you want to milk the coverage as much as possible, and you really don't want to take sides until both of them are in the store. But then they spend the entire generation complaining about how gamers complain and create this console war that's not actually a war, but you feed into this mentality by having us versus them articles all the time.
Yeah, it's so dumb. It's so dumb. I don't know. To me, like, my only suggestion is, if you can't get both, and some people can't, you get the one that you feel most comfortable with, and if you're a multiplayer gamer, get the one that your friends are getting.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would wait until next year for that to see how it all, because, you know, the people who are getting it now are people who are just really big in the game, and you don't really know what's going to happen. Like, I still don't think either, like, I mean, we have Call of Duty, we have Battlefield, but I don't really think either one has their definitive exclusive multiplayer experience.
I don't think there is a single must-play game at launch. It's actually very weak.
Yeah, I also find people are extremely defensive about that, because you can't say they're weak console launches, because what people are going to compare them to are previous launches for Microsoft and Sony, and Sony has never done a good launch. I don't know how they've been marketed so often and never get the launch right. But I think I said this on Twitter, it's like, I don't get this notion that launches have always been bad. I mean, at launches, we've had games like Super Mario 64, we've had Halo, we've had Wii Sports, we've had the original Super Mario Brothers. Like, there have been industry-changing games at launches. To say that these launches are weak, and to defend it by just saying, oh, it's a launch, it happens, just seems like you're giving up.
Right.
And I mean, I don't think they're bad launches. It's just, I could definitely see what Tony's saying. Like, nothing stands out to me as, like, I need to play that.
My Twitter feed is full of people saying, you know, I don't know what to buy. I'm getting Assassin's Creed 4 because I need a game to justify my new system.
Yeah, I'm hearing that a lot. And that
to me sounds like, then you have too much money.
Right.
Well, I think people want to be part of the excitement. People want to get it day one. But people don't necessarily know what they want to get besides the device. And I'm really kind of curious to see, again, I want to see the talking point from these people come January or February with these devices, with games they didn't know they didn't want. But yeah, I think the other problem is, it's not that these are bad launches, it's that if you have a PS3 and 360, and chances are at this point you do, most of these games you can already get on those systems, or you've been playing for the past 7 years. Because, I mean, it's more Call of Duty, it's more Assassin's Creed, it's... You know, Battlefield isn't so bad, it's only like the second major one on consoles. But it's experiences that we've had already, and experiences we've had often.
Right.
Yeah, it feels very familiar. Which is why I'm like I'm getting both systems, and I'm gonna play Killzone, and I have the three Microsoft exclusives.
Are you getting Knack?
Not right away.
I want somebody to get Knack. I want to hear stuff from that because I don't know what to expect from that.
So as I told Tony this, we're trying to figure out which shooter to get for Xbox One, but my goal going forward after launch is to like buy one game at a time so that I don't have like this stack of games that I need to play. So like maybe after I'm done Killzone I will get Knack, but not right away. Like I need to be able to finish one game at a time.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm sure that by, you know, this time
I'm
next
sure
year.
By, yeah.
Like, I mean,
I don't even take that long. By the end of April, we'll be like, I don't know where all these games came from.
Right.
They are.
I'm hoping not, because like, it doesn't sound like it's very busy, like, early next year, at least for the new systems. But I'm sure we'll hear more.
Well, you do have more stuff to play in that launch window now.
Yeah.
Just not for the new systems.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch because I think right now we have more announced for the current systems for the start of next year than we do for the new systems.
Like, I mean, South Park, which I am...
Welcome, South Park.
Yeah, I'm now really expecting that to be a giant shit show.
I've been telling you guys this the whole time.
I know, it's just like, I like South Park, and I do like Obsidian's writing. Like, I think they're really good writers, and the promise of like a cool South Park RPG sounded great, but it's turning out to be a standard Obsidian game.
Right. And the two guys in charge of the project don't make games. They make a TV show.
Right. Which leads me to believe that the writing is going to be great, but
right. That
gameplay. And then Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, Dark Souls. Final Fantasy, Lightning Returned.
Yeah.
The new Strider game. There's a couple of big titles still yet to come.
Yeah, I mean that's not surprising. Like,
it's not. I think that's the other problem with this launch is a lot of companies aren't really going all in with next gen because I guess they can't afford that transition. So a lot of these games are cross platform. Even, I mean, like stuff like the Crew, like Watch Dogs, it's more of a next-gen experience, but they're still coming out to your current systems.
Right.
As of right now, who knows what happens, you know, with cancellations in the new year.
Yeah, who knows when, you know, Watch Dogs is actually going to come out, so.
And I think that being the hit also kind of really dampened the excitement for next-gen, because that was kind of that next-gen experience title.
I'm gonna sound like the Xbox fanboy that everyone calls me, but I think it really hurt Sony's more than anything.
Oh yeah, it did. I don't think like, it was on all systems, but Sony was the one who was kind of co-marketing it with the, I think, 60 minutes of exclusive content, which I still think is a stupid metric.
Yeah, that was AC4 as well, with like their hour of extra content, like.
I don't know what that means.
Right. Like, where? Like...
Is it a good hour? Is it an hour worth having? Is it an hour just running around in a circle? What is it?
Or is it an hour? Is it a game hour? You know, like how some people say their game takes 40 hours and it takes you 10.
Right.
Is it like one side mission that you get to do? Is it even in the actual game? Is it something that you pick off the menu?
Yeah, like, you have to give me more details than that.
But yeah, I mean, like, it, again, it was on Microsoft system, it was on the Xbox, it was on the Wii U, but it was kind of the big Sony game, and and again, you know, being that Sony is the technical champion for next gen as far as console specs goes, being that big graphical showcase, really, being there on, like, again, we have Killzone, you have Knack, and Killzone, I put in the same ballpark I put Infamous in earlier. Fine franchises, they don't sell systems.
Yeah, probably better than Infamous, but I think Killzone's a little more successful than Infamous. But
yeah,
but not by much.
Not by much, and they're big franchises on the PS3 this year. Ratchet and Clank, Gran Turismo. I don't know what they're doing with this launch, but I haven't known what they were doing for the last 4 years or so with the Vita.
It is really strange. I mean, Gran Turismo is arguably still Sony's biggest franchise. And then Uncharted is, you know, probably right there behind them. Neither of them on PS4 at launch. And
it's one of them announced.
Right. And no Halo game for Microsoft.
But they were smart enough to announce it, so at least you know it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. it's so weird. It's a really weird launch.
Yeah. I mean, I understand not having your big titles at launch because you want... I mean, at this point, the year that we kind of forward to is usually the second year. That's when everything kind of comes together. That's when you get that big experience. But it's really odd because... Again, I see it selling out. I see it doing well at this year. I'm really kind of curious to see what type of momentum they get going into the new year.
Going in, I think they'll be fine. Coming out, January, I don't know.
Like, even past launch, like, what is out for the rest of the year beyond launch?
Oh, like, you mean like, to keep things going?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, really, like, outside of, like, the launch stuff, the next big Xbox One game I'm looking forward to is Titanfall.
And that's in March, which is, what, 5 months from now?
Yeah.
Infamous in February.
Yeah, and then Destiny is the next game after that, so...
And Destiny is still kind of just a vague window.
Yeah, it sounds like June, but yeah. Got my beta key for that. we got any other news?
We mentioned the South Park delay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm done. It's over. We can talk about EA dropping Tiger Woods.
I'm actually surprised it took them that long to do it.
15 years.
I figured they would have done it after the scandal, and he hasn't really been that important since then, so...
He was the best golfer in golf this year, so...
It's funny, because they kept him long enough to reap the years of his tarnished reputation, then dropped him as he was starting to get popular
again. Yeah, like, he's back to being good again. They kept him for, like, those 3 years where he was, like, not...
where he was a pariah.
Yeah, like, nobody wanted to touch him, and... And like, he wasn't good when he was on the course, like, yeah, but I mean, I don't follow golf outside of, like, the headlines, but I know that he was the best golfer in golf again this year, even if he didn't win a major tournament, so.
He still won, like, 5 big tournaments, he just didn't win
Yeah, he didn't win one of the 4 majors, so.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, I mean, I know the game sales were on a downward slope for a while, so yeah. Maybe they figured the license was way too much for the sales they were getting back in. I don't know how you do a golf game, but I don't know what they're going to do with their golf game. I don't know.
Well, there is no 2000. The next year there will be no version. The next one is coming out in 2015.
Okay.
So it'll probably just be PGA Tour golf.
Right. I mean, they still have their licensing agreement with the PGA, so they're going to have access to all those people. It's just that Tiger Woods on the cover is probably not going to happen.
Yeah,
they also expect him to be retired by the time that they're...
That hasn't stopped them from using Madden's name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Madden was larger than life before.
I mean, so was Tiger. They wouldn't put him on the cover. I mean, it seems like they're trying to just save money at this point because they closed on a new studio this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They closed down that
Command and Conquer studio. EA.
BioWare Victory. Or...
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Goodbye, Command and Conquer. Goodbye, BioWare Victory.
I wonder what percentage of studios that EA purchases are closed down within 5 years. I bet it's damn near 100.
Probably up there.
BioWare survived. BioWare Edmonton.
Did they close down the Houston BioWare? The one that was working on Star Wars?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, there's still Star Wars stuff coming out, so...
Right, but they also founded that studio. Out. They didn't actually just buy it.
Right.
Like, any studio that they go out and buy tends to fold. Like, they don't know what to do with these.
I am kind of curious as to why people continue to work with them. Because it does not seem to be a healthy relationship.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess speaking of EA, you didn't mention the Titanfall stuff that came out this week, or someone came out this week,
That it is exclusive to Microsoft and, well, PC, but...
And forever and ever, except until the next Titanfall game comes out.
Well, yeah, Titanfall 1
right,
is exclusive. I actually think that's really good it's really good for Microsoft, because it's obviously the most talked about next-gen game at this point. I think it's actually good for to Respawn, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm sure Microsoft is throwing, like, co-marketing dollars at it. And if Microsoft does anything, they market their stuff real well. At least their game stuff. So that'll get out there. People will know about it.
They also had a quote today, wasn't it? I saw people getting up in arms about, I think Microsoft was saying they don't need to have a bunch of in-house, they don't need to own a bunch of studios to make great games.
I didn't catch that, but I don't disagree.
I don't disagree at all. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to piss off your Sony fan base in this episode, but they've done a lot.
You have a Sony fan base? You have a
driven boy? We have Daxter.
They've done a lot more with a lot less this generation than Sony has with all of their studios. In this time, Sony still hasn't come up with something that sells as much as Halo. Their number, I guess the 1, 2, and 3 franchise sells about on par with Microsoft's number 2. And, like, everything else they throw at the wall just kind of sinks. I mean, we've seen what PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale did, Puppeteer, Dash Moms. I assume Beyond Two Souls isn't selling as well as Heavy Rain did.
Probably not.
No.
As they were coming out and, like, giving a vote of confidence to David Cage and Quantic Dream, like, even before the game released, like, it's kind of right. They knew this was not going to sell well.
Yeah, I imagine... Ratchet and Clank is pretty much being sent to die coming out.
What the... Come on. Right. I'm a huge Ratchet and Clank fan. Why November 12th? Like, 3 days before your new system launches, you're gonna... Really?
Yeah. Like, I would have pushed it to December or something, or next year. You don't need a major PS3 That's not even a major PS3 exclusive.
No, it's a $30 budget title.
Oh, they also announced a mobile tie-in to that. Oh, Ratchet and Clank Before the Nexus.
Before the Nexus?
Yes.
I wonder if that'll come out anytime soon, because the last Ratchet game took like another 6 months to make it to Vita. It came out.
But this isn't for Vita. This is
like actual
yeah.
phones.
It's a Endless Runner.
Is that coming to America? Because we didn't get their other one, their other Endless Runner they made.
Well, you mean this series? And this, I was actually going to ask. I don't remember what happened. What did the PlayStation All-Star Island?
Yeah, it was only released in Europe.
That amazing Coca-Cola tie-in, too. It was so subtle.
Yeah. You collect Coke bottles. And yeah, that never came out here. And last I heard, there was no plans to bring it here.
Ah, that sucks. It was an interesting idea. I mean, everybody's always talking about like, marketing your products on smartphones.
I would have played it.
Yeah.
Sounded like Temple Run, but with Sony characters. Whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. Uncharted is the perfect IP for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't being snarky. I mean, Uncharted, it's pretty much a Temple Run.
Yeah, the aesthetic definitely, I mean, definitely fits in there. And you just kind of throw Nathan Drake in and...
Yeah, and he already does auto-collectible stuff with his items and jewelry, so you can just throw that in there as well.
Sony throwing things out the die. I guess that's it. Unless you guys got anything else.
I do not.
No questions this week?
Well, normally we leave it to Fozzie and Jeff.
And I think, yeah, we forgot.
Yeah. There's a question in our feed. It goes, will there be beer? And that was from Tony, so.
And there was beer. I had a delightful beer. Actually, it wasn't that delightful. I was kind of disappointed. It was supposed to be a chocolate stout, and it tasted like a dark lager. I wept.
But I guess real quick, I've been curious about this, and I've heard people on both sides of the fence. Are you going to buy subscriptions for both PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live next gen?
I already have both, so.
Right.
I guess.
I'm assuming I let my PlayStation Plus lapse until I actually get the PS4, but I'm probably going to do that too. You okay. Have to.
You
turned down all those free games from PS Plus. And, I mean, what good is an Xbox One without Xbox Live Gold?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because, I mean, part of it, like, if I was to get an next-gen system, I'm kind of already built into the Microsoft ecosystem, because I just renewed my Hive account this year. Well, actually, this week. So I'm good until next October, so it's like I'm already kind of paid into the system where I don't have... Like, I do PlayStation Plus on a monthly basis. I have a bunch of free codes I got from IGN a couple of months ago. And whenever games that interest me come up, I activate one and download it and pay that and then move on.
That's not a bad idea.
It saves me a lot of money and time. I still don't know how PlayStation Plus is a money-making deal, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really care because I get free shit for my Vita, which is nice because I don't have to buy anything.
Yeah, but that's the problem, though. Is you don't have to buy anything.
Exactly. Well, and that's exactly... And this is exactly how I'm going to approach the PS4 is I've already kind of decided the Xbox One is going to be my primary console where I play most of my games. I've built a rather large gamer score up over the last 8 years. Like, I don't care about trophies. Not that I really care about achievements, but, like, I'm kind of just built into that, you know, Xbox, you know, system. And I'm going to use the PS4 exactly like I use my PS3. It's going to be an exclusive machine, and I'll take advantage of the free shit they give me. Free, you know, with my subscription, but... yeah, I don't know where they're making money outside of that.
I wonder if any developers hate them for that. Because there's a lot of people, and I'm included in this, where there's a lot of games that I'd be interested in. I'm like, I'll just wait until it's free.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad enough we waited until prices capped on these games, but now you
now it's like you don't even, yeah, it's like they'll eventually release that. And it was funny, I was before we started this, I was watching a Giant Bomb video, and, Patrick Klepek was talking, and he was talking about The Puppeteer, a game I happened to play and actually enjoyed. But he was like, I wouldn't buy it now at the $40 price point. Maybe if you can get it like on Black Friday for cheaper, or just wait it out. It'll probably eventually show up on PS Plus. Like, okay, well, there you go. Like, and that's what people are doing. Like, oh, I didn't buy this game. I'm just going to wait it out for maybe it'll show up on PS Plus.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, like, even with, like, you know, they're doing Drive Shield, which is the launch title. They're doing Resno Gun, which is the launch title. It's like, yeah, I already, well, I mean, Drive Shield's no longer a launch title, but what do you get in the Construct?
Contrast is the other game, which is an indie, side-scrolling platformer type thing.
Yeah, which gets attention now, except it's the wrong type of attention because nobody's going to buy you.
Well, I wonder for them if it's just a matter of, like, Sony paid them enough money to have it go free.
But again, this goes back to how does Sony make money off of it?
Well, no, I don't have any idea.
Like, I want to know, like, it has to be a money-making gig for them, or they wouldn't continue doing it. But where?
Or I wonder if it's just a thing where we're going to take a giant loss for a while, but we're going to bring all these people over with the PS4, and we're going to get those Xbox users, and they're now going to be PS4 users, and hopefully they continue to buy stuff just like they did with the Xbox 360.
Yeah, but how do you stop giving people free games? How do you get people out of that? It's the same problem that mobile gaming have. It's like, I don't spend money on mobile games because I can probably find something comparable for free.
Generally. You're missing out on some good stuff, but yeah, generally you can find something similar at the free price point.
So it's the same thing. Like, I won't mind if I don't get Battlefield 3 this year because Sony's going to give it to me next year with Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah, there's probably a good chance that happens.
I've just always been curious.
I'll be interested to see what the attach rates are. Most people are predicting the PS4 is going to outsell the Xbox One at launch. I'm just wondering where the actual sales are going to be. Like, are people buying the PS4 and, oh, there's all these free-to-play games. There's you know, they're giving me Contrast. They're giving me Resogun. And then every month they're going to be giving me something new. I'll just buy a PS4, but I'm not going to buy any games for it. And then, like, people on Xbox are like, well, I need to buy games for it.
Yeah, I mean, people make fun of games with gold, and I do think it's not comparable to PlayStation Plus. But they're smart enough to know, like, we're going to give you games that you probably already have because we're not stupid to lose money on this endeavor. Like, nobody's going to say, I'm going to wait out Halo 5 because Microsoft's going to give it to me in Games of Gold because they just gave us Halo 3, which is like 4 sequels ago.
Right. And, I mean, they could have given us Reach. That would have been nice.
It would have been nice if they'd given us 4 or something, but they, you know, not to expect anything too recent from them. Just to
mention, not at all. Like, what are they giving us? Iron Brigade and something else this month?
Worlds of Caffeine?
Yeah. So, I mean, I know Iron Brigade is 2 years old at this point, so.
And I think the other one's 3 years. I know one's 2010 and one's 2011.
Yeah, not comparable at all, but it's free shit, whatever.
Yeah.
I can just ignore it if I want.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of them I just download because it's just much easier to have them on my hard drive than it is to just kind of for disk. Which is laziness, but whatever. Oh, did you folks speak about install and disk sizes on this?
We didn't. They're massive.
That is going, like, these 500 gig hard drives are going to be done by the end of the year for a lot of people.
And there's no external hard drive support on PS4. I'm not sure about Xbox One, but no external hard drive support on PS4.
Yeah, I was confused about that, because it does support external hard drives,
Not loading just for storage, yes.
Yes, so you'd have, it's basically going back to the old Wii, you have to clean out the fridge mentality.
Yes. Which, I mean, I do that now, even with my 250 gig Xbox hard drive, like, I still clear out shit that I don't need, that I don't play.
Yeah, I guess the problem here is just that every game's gonna need it.
Yeah.
And it's not just if you go digital, it's retail disc as well, and I think that's going to be the issue.
Yeah, I don't think they did a good job of kind of putting that out there. Most of these games are going to need an install, which was true on the PS3 as well. Most of them needed some sort of either a cache install or even a bigger install than that.
It is kind of funny, though, because if you had paid attention to what Sony said, it made sense because they introduced that PayGo feature earlier in the year, where it's like if you install or download a certain portion of the game, you can begin paying it. And they probably realized because nobody's going to sit there as we install 50 gigs onto your hard drive.
Right. Which is, Jesus, that's so big. I mean, I thought Batman was big on PC. I think it was like 18 gigs.
Well, I think a lot of it is just that nobody's going to care. It's like we have the space now. We don't need to compress it.
Yeah, they don't need to compress anything. So it's a lot of uncompressed audio.
Yeah, like, I mean, you compare it to, because, I mean, I don't know why this became a thing. I just saw it out of it pop up at once. I think Mario 3D World came out, and that's going to be, I think, a gig and a half. And then you have something like Knack, which is 37 gigs. Like, I'm not saying Knack isn't a better looking game, but there shouldn't be like a 15 time difference between those two titles.
No, not at all. Yeah, it's going to be crazy, and it's probably only going to get worse. Those 500 gig hard drives are going to seem mighty small.
I can't
really
wait until Metal Gear comes out.
They're going to disappear quickly.
Yeah. When Metal...
wait until you see like the 2,000 gig drives coming out.
Yeah, like in
now.
A couple of years, the PS4 Slim is like has like a 3 terabyte drive in it, and the Xbox One 2, Xbox 12. I actually saw an Xbox One today, live.
Ooh.
My local Walmart actually has a kiosk set up.
Oh,
nice.
Awesome.
Pretty.
Does it actually work, or is it just videos?
The screen wasn't on, so I don't know. I just saw the box. it was pretty. It looks like it was just installed, though, because I was there over the weekend to pick something up, and it was not there. That was where they used to have the gift cards. Like the Xbox Live cards and the 3DS cards and stuff. And now it is like this Xbox One kiosk. No PS4 kiosk, which I thought was a little weird, but.
I know they started doing them in the Sony stores. I don't know if they've expanded beyond that yet.
But you can buy a fucking DualShock 4.
You can actually, I think they also removed the street date, so you can also buy the games as well.
So dumb.
I don't get why people are doing it. People are weird with launches, but people are buying DualShocks just to play around with the controller. And, I mean, video game controllers are cool, but if I don't have a system for them to be used on, I don't really get the point of having one.
You can plug it into the PC, though, I think, right?
You can use it on the PS3, and I believe you can use it on Xbox 360 as well.
Really?
That's
weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I guess it's USB. You need some other stuff to get it to work, but yeah. But still, the idea of buying a controller 3 weeks before the system comes out just to have it.
Yeah, I don't have any need. I'm not even going to buy a secondary controller right away.
I didn't know people do that anymore. You don't get many couch co-op games.
I mean, I probably will buy a second controller at some point just because, like, play Madden with my son or something, but yeah. Not right away, because that's an extra $60, and that's a game. So I'd rather have an extra game than an extra controller.
Yes.
And my kids don't need to play my new toys right away.
Yeah, gotta see how that touchpad goes.
Yeah. Or I could play on my Vita. The remote play. Anyway, next gen, it's coming soon. Next week.
Theater near you?
Yeah, maybe. next week, we will reveal our top 50 games of this generation.
It's frightening.
Yeah, it was. Oddly, what was frightening about it was that there was no bloodshed. Like,
I tried as best as I could to shed blood.
Yeah, yeah, you did. Certain people would not fight, so it's too passive. I personally like how that list came out, though. So
I'm
that's why Europa Universalis 4 was selected as our number one game of the generation.
Yeah. I was about to say, I'm really curious to see what ends up being the number one game of this generation. I'm kind of curious what's going to be the number one game of this generation for a lot of publications, though. Because I don't think there's been a concise, like, it's kind of moved from year to year, and I don't know if any of them kind of retain that time night too long. Off the top of my head, I would say BioShock would be up there for some companies. Red Dead Redemption, maybe. GTA 5, based on recent hype. The Last of Us.
That was in our bottom 50.
Yeah,
it was in the bottom 5 of our top 50.
The Last of Us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing our list, and I had the same, I don't like having something so recent on the list. It's a crapshoot because you have to do this just around now because the gen is ending, but, you know, like, we had Beyond Two Souls as part of our honorable mentions, and I'm like, that game's like not even a month old.
That came up, like, if you listen to the podcast next week, that actually does come up, that conversation.
Not around any of the games you've mentioned, but
yeah.
You could probably guess which one it would be.
That conversation came up, and
does Star Wars The Old Republic make your top 50?
No. Did not.
Ah, damn bossy.
You didn't bring it up.
Well, I just remember him fighting so hard to make it his game of the year and then turning around like the next week and not acting the game as much.
On four games, 4 days worth of play, yeah. If you really feel that strongly about it, we can do it next year. You can bring it back next year. Not even a peep. we have a rather... Actually, we have a couple of recent games in our top 20, so. It's tough. It's hard to have, you know, that perspective on if it's going to last that long, but.
Well, I mean, we have it on some games. I think there are certain games from this generation that we don't talk about in this generation now. Cameo comes to mind, Condemned comes to mind. Actually, most launch titles for this generation come to mind. Call of Duty 2. It's been so long, they don't even number them anymore.
Yeah, now it's just Call of Duty, whatever. Well, they do. They number the sub-series.
Yeah, except the sub-series isn't this... No, Modern Warfare is the main series.
No, Modern Warfare is, I mean, I guess, if you really... But they Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare... And then it became...
Oh, you mean they subtitle?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought the Treyarch ones were the subseries.
No. What I meant by subseries was they split off because Modern Warfare became its own brand and Black Ops became its own brand and
Call of Duty is the comic books of video games.
Yeah, and divergent paths and horrible continuity and.
I'm sure there's been some retcons by now. This time travel in the ghost, I think, or something with past and the present, I don't know.
I don't know, there's aliens in this new one, though, that's what I hear.
Oh yeah, the new mode, Extinction?
Yeah, it's like Horde mode with aliens.
Yeah, which is Horde mode.
So first person shooting Horde mode. So basically firefight.
Yeah. Halo's becoming Call of Duty's becoming Halo.
Great, at some point it'll just be Call of Halo. Everybody will be happy. Yeah, I would too.
Armor abilities and the loadouts will be fun. Nobody's gonna get frustrated with that in Valiant.
And then Battlefield will just be there. Hey, us too. We're good.
We're still blowing up stuff and beating up dogs.
Alright. I don't want to get into talking about Battlefield because I have stuff to say about that. It's not nice. And I should be nice. Anyway, top 50 next week. Starting on Monday, they'll be going up in text form, but you can listen to our debate next week. And then we'll be back the week after, right before the PS4 launches. So,
isn't it the day the PS4 launches?
Yeah, the day the PS4 launches, or a new episode will go up. But we will not have impressions of the system at that point.
Maybe we'll just actually do impressions of the system.
The bleeps and bloops of it turning on.
So the first half an hour of the podcast will be nothing as you update it.
Yep. Oh, well, no, it'll actually be that. That'll be the whole podcast because it's going to take all day to update that thing. Unless you do the thumb drive thing.
I would do the thumb drive thing.
You think I should do that?
I would. You can download it now, can't you?
Yes, you can.
It's available.
I'm kind of tempted to just see how well the servers actually work on day one, though.
I wouldn't tempt fate.
I guess there's that.
I mean, you can mess around with PlayStation Plus or something like that and test it that way, but...
You could do both, Chris. I mean, there's nothing saying that you can't just download it to a thumb drive, see how the servers...
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I could do that. Download it now to a thumb drive and then try and plug it in, see if it'll download from the servers right away. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll do that. And if it doesn't work, then...
Then you're saved, anyway.
Yeah.
Then you can at least watch Blu-ray.
Right. Yeah, so we'll have a... At some point, we will have impressions of the PS4 and the Xbox One. And we're coming up really quickly in the end of the year.
VGA times.
Yeah, early December, so... when all the good trailers come out. But that's it. So you catch Earl on his own podcast.
Dual Wielding Video Games. And we're a very special bunch of people. We're doing Top 7, yes. So we've done Top 7 franchises, Top 7 new IPs, Top 7 Xbox 360 games, and Top 7 PS3 games. And 2 weeks from now, we're going to do our top 7 games of this generation, and that's going to be a pain in the ass to come up with.
You think so?
Doing just 7?
Yeah, I mean, it was... I mean, we had a list of 50 that each of us submitted, and we whittled that down. But, yeah, there was 138 games out of our top... to come down to our top 50 out of 5 of us, so...
Yeah, and I think the less you have, the harder it becomes, because everything becomes a competition between, I want to add this game, but mm-hmm. I don't want to add this game.
Which, we even had that with our top 50. Like, I know Fozzie and I struggled with what to put on at the end. Like, do I put this one on, or do I put this one on?
Yeah, but again, you kind of, you know, like, I mean, I guess it depends, because it's been a very good generation. I mean, you know, some negatives have come out of this, but it's really hard to say that this wasn't a fantastic generation to be a gamer. I'm just kind of curious, and I will let you folks go. Do you folks have handhelds on your list?
I don't think we did. No. PC, PS3. We did include the Wii.
A Wii game.
Sort of.
Yeah,
The Wii was mentioned briefly.
Yes. And not too far down the list, so. But yeah, it was only mentioned once. yeah, no DS, no 3DS, no Vita games, so. I don't know why. I guess we just didn't kind of think it in that same respect, so.
Yeah, I think there's always been a stigma that handheld gaming has kind of been separate from, and the generations are slightly off, especially since, I mean, the DS and the PSP and the Vita came out between the launch of the 360 and the launch of the Xbox One and stuff like that. So they've had two different launches in that time period.
Yeah, and now the 3DS and the Vita are out, so they're kind of like the next generation of handhelds, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't include them though, so have fun if you are including them.
Oh, I don't think we're going to do any. I mean, I have nothing against them, but again, it's so hard to kind of say I prefer this handheld experience over this console game.
Yep. So, yeah, so check out all of that stuff from Earl. It's nerdsontherocks.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, find it all there. And you can check out his crazy 7,000 top sevens that they have going on.
It's a fun experiment.
Listening to some of those are pretty funny. It's like, yeah, I didn't play this game either.
This is a democracy. It was a really terrible idea in hindsight.
So yeah, it's just that the one was funny. Is like you guys went through like two straight, and like both your guests on early. Yeah, we didn't play this game. I'm glad you had us on for this, but
I think the favorite is Uncharted winning everything and us hating it for it.
Well, I can confirm Uncharted did not win everything for us. So.
No, it keeps on winning because we all kind of it's like. We vote for it as a middle title.
It's like the Halo for us. It's the one title we can all agree is really good.
But it's not anybody's favorite. It's just
right, exactly.
It exists and we enjoy it all, but why does it keep on turning up as number one?
Sony fanboys. Just pick Halo.
All right, let's end this podcast.
We're done. We'll be back next week. Say goodbye, Tony.
Bye.